Chinese consumers aren't buying as much as they used to.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. China today said the gap between what it exports and imports shrank last year. The country reported its lowest trade surplus in 3 years. Now, China's exports took a big hit in Europe because of the sour economy there and, of course, the debt crisis. And its import growth took an even bigger hit as Chinese consumers bought fewer things last year. Now, what does that mean for the rest of us around the world? The BBC's Michael Bristow joins us now from Beijing with the latest on that story. Hey, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. What's going on here?
The export growth slowing means that there's less demand in the United States and in Europe. That's why that slowed. Imports grow slightly because the Chinese economy is slowing slightly. So there's less demand in China for commodities and for products that they buy from abroad. That's partly because, you know, for example, they need fewer commodities because they're making fewer goods for exports, but also because demand in China is slightly slowing. So there's two things at play here. Essentially, with exports have slowed because external demand in Europe and in America has slowed slightly. The demand for imports has slowed because demand in China is slowing down. The economy is slowing down here because for the last year or so, the government has been trying to slow the economy down because it fears inflation. It doesn't want to go too fast. So both those things are happening because of different reasons.
How does this news, Michael, affect the pressure the U.S. is putting on China to allow its currency, the yuan, to appreciate?
Well, there is still a trade surplus China has with the United States. And whilst ever that is the case, I think there's going to be pressure from the United States. And Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner is in Beijing at the moment. There's going to be pressure from the United States to allow the yuan to appreciate. Essentially, the argument is that a lower yuan gives Chinese exporters an advantage over American firms. And so wherever there's a trade surplus, that argument will continue.
The BBC's Michael Bristow in Beijing. Michael, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Well, closer to home, in the next few weeks, a Spanish company will begin exploring for oil in the deep waters off the coast of Cuba. U.S. personnel checked the oil rig out to make sure it complies with American standards. It does. But that's not stopping some people from worrying about a worst-case scenario and Cuba from looking at some big dividends. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
The oil wells will be drilled thousands of feet beneath the sea. And even though they are about 70 miles from Florida, the oil wells will be in Cuban waters. That presents a challenge in case of an emergency.
The fact that we do not have good relations with Cuba makes any coordination during an oil spill more difficult.
Michael Lynch is president of the consultancy Strategic Energy and Economic Research. He says the Spanish oil company Repsol has a good reputation for safety.
I don't think that we would be under any special threat, especially given the fact that this is a world-class company doing the drilling.
How much oil are we talking about? Paul Weimer is a geology professor at the University of Colorado at Boulder.
It ranges in the several billion barrel range.
At today's prices, 1 billion barrels of oil is worth more than $100 billion. But Weimer says that fortune won't materialize overnight. It typically takes 6 to 10 years to get newly discovered oil to market. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, European markets are higher right now, anywhere from 1 to 2.5% at the moment. Asian shares were up today as well, a little less than that. Consumer borrowing rose big time in November, the Federal Reserve says, by more than $20 billion. That's the largest amount in a decade. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 32 points to end the day at 12,392.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
We are thick into the 2012 Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, a show that prides itself on all the cutting-edge gadgets on display. But CES is also about advertising, and one of the major venues for advertisers is smartphone apps. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
So you're playing Angry Birds, and an ad for ringtones pops up. Rovio, the company that makes Angry Birds, says its games deliver 10 billion ad views a month. Apple says the average iPhone user spends more than an hour a day using apps. That could be one reason why advertising on mobile devices, like smartphones, is expected to surpass $2 billion this year.
The app landscape is becoming more and more attractive to advertisers.
Chad Stoller is a managing partner with IPG Media Lab.
Now, the challenge with that is finding the right apps.
That's not as easy as it sounds. Apps have broad ranges of users, and advertisers are still figuring out who's downloading what. At CES this year, thousands of advertisers and marketers are swarming the floor. Kurt Hecht leads digital innovation and tech for advertising group VivaKey.
I saw, you know, tons of agency people boarding the planes to come here like they would to Cannes or Adweek. That's what this event has become.
So VivaKey and other agencies are trying to bring advertisers and tech companies together, even though they don't always speak the same language. VivaKey is organizing
something called speed dating,
where big advertisers like Procter & Gamble, Nestle, and Citibank sit down with lots of startups who just have a few minutes to make their pitches before everyone heads back to the floor to see the next in a long line of game-changing doodads. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, a lot of folks embark on some sort of weight loss plan this time of year. And one company wants to get Fido involved in that, too. Nestle, the Swiss company that owns Jenny Craig and Purina, has started an online program to help people and their pets shed the pounds. On their website, users can follow overweight cats and dogs on their fitness journeys through movies and before and after pictures. Of course, a lot of those folks will fall off their diets this year. I wonder if the pets will, too. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You sit down, you flip on the television, and boom, just like that, you're inundated with choices.
There are certain channels that you look at, like, everyone pays for, no one knows why they pay for. If you're a channel that people pay for and don't know why, you have a very short lifespan.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Pay what you need. The future of TV next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.